Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is Chaf. We're in the very bottom of Yud Testament Beis, and obviously continuing from yesterday's discussion regarding the setting up of the Rosh Chodesh, and specifically how to adjust for the correct Rosh Chodesh, meaning that there are two candidates for Rosh Chodesh. It could either be the 30th or 31st first day of the previous month, and Beis Din is going to make that determination. And a lot of the discussion yesterday, especially as it relates to the last months of the year, notably Adar, and if necessary, second Adar. So we're just going to go along and continue in that discussion. So Shalchu Leilamar Ukva, we're in the very bottom of your Testament base, and so the Gemara now is going to have more opinions regarding exactly how to set up the month of Adar, whether it should be a 29-day month or a 30-day month. The Gemara starts off Adar Hasamach LeNisan. So the Adar that is next to Nisan, meaning that there could be two Adarim next to Nisan. So the Adar that is proximate to Nisan, La'olam Chaser, it's always going to be a Chaser month. Okay. So now it's not exactly clear exactly what the basis of this is. Obviously, and there was this point that we already made yesterday, but let's just restate this. Obviously, we're talking about a period of time where they didn't fix the calendars. Meaning once the calendar is fixed, so then we know exactly which months are going to have which kind of days. And more about the calendar a little bit later on this morning. But anyway, for whatever reason, so Mar Ukva sent out that Adar, that Samach L'Nisan should always be Chaser. And it was a way of creating a general expectation of when Nisan's going to come. Meaning once we know when Rosh Chodesh Adar is, and once we know that Adar is going to be a Chaser. So now we know exactly when Pesach is going to come. So Meitzer Rav Nachman, so the Rav Nachman says, I don't think you're right. Meaning, a challenge to Mar Ukva because it seems to be that it's a variable. It's not fixed. How do I know that? Because we learned in the Mishnah, Shechadash Mechal Nasa Shabbos Al Nisan Al Tishrei. So when are you Mechal Shabbos? So we made this point yesterday. Again, let's reiterate again once again today. And that is the idea that the in terms of disseminating the information, meaning once Beis Din sets up Rosh Chodesh, so that is it. So the Shulchan go out and they inform everybody. So that can involve no Chil Shabbos. So they'll go out and whatever from Sunday to Friday they'll travel and they'll share information with people living in Eretz Yisrael and abroad as far as they can go. But that does not involve any Chil Shabbos. However, and we're going to be discussing this more later in Masechta, in terms of being Mekadesh the Chodesh. So you have witnesses coming and testifying that they saw the new moon and reporting this information to Beis Din so that Beis Din can now sanctify the month, the new month, so that you can be Mechal Shabbos. For every month, well, the Mishnah says no, only for 2 months, and that's notably Nisan and Tishrei. Now, why just Nisan and Tishrei? Well, the obvious answer, not one that's going to provide the greatest amount of clarity right now, but the obvious answer is that Nisan and Tishrei, every Yontif is going to be dependent on Nisan and Tishrei. Consider, Tishrei obviously is going to affect when Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is. And Nisan is going to be affecting when Pesach and subsequently when Shavuos is. So because it's now going to affect all three of the Yomim Tovim, so that's why it's so important, it's so critical to get these months quote-unquote right, so therefore Beis Din is prepared to allow the Edom to be Mechal Shabbos in order to sanctify, in order to tell the Sanhedrin that they saw the new moon at this month, at this particular time, so that these 2 months they quote-unquote get it right. Now the Gemara says, Yamar Bishlama Zimnim Ale Zimnim Chasim Mishom Hachim Mechalinan. So the Gemara says, now, if you're going to tell me that Adar is operating on a fixed schedule where it's only going to be a chaser, so then there's no need for Edom to go ahead and to be Mechal Shabbos, meaning we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be. Ela'i amar lo'olam chaser. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. If you have the position that it's fixed, so am I Mechalinam? So the Gemara's answer is Mishum de Mitzvah L'Kadesh Al Ariyah. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be as follows. Maybe it is fixed, and maybe separate from knowing when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, maybe there's a mitzvah that Beis Din has to be Mekadesh Al Pi Ariyah, meaning by witnesses seeing and reporting this information, maybe there's a mitzvah d'oraisa in the process in doing so. And if, in fact, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so it is not going to be really dependent on whether it's fixed or whether it's variable. Okay. Now, the answer that the Gemara provided, if you think about it for just a little bit, so you realize that the answer is really difficult to understand. Because if, in fact, there's mitzvah l'kadosh al-pi ariyah, so when should Eidim be mechal Shabbos? Every month, not just Nisan and Tishrei. So the Gemara's answer over here seems to be incomplete. The Gemara, in fact, this point that we just made, the Gemara's going to make a little bit later on. So at this juncture, it is really difficult to understand how the Gemara seems to be satisfied with this answer. Iga d'Amri. Now, we're going to do this again. We're going to do this in a slightly different version. And that is Amar Rav Nachman, af anami tanina. Meaning, right now, we're bouncing off the statement of Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva says that Adar is always a chaser. And now the Gemara is going to think in this second version, and I want to support that as well. And Amar Rav Nachman, af anami tanina. We learned to the Mishnah, Shnei Chadoshim, Mechal Nesah Shabbos, Al Nisan Val Tishrei. So you're going to go out for 2 months of the year. You're going to go out in Nisan, you're going to go out in Tishrei, and again, when I say go out again, what I mean is that Edom are going to go out to tell the Beis Din that they saw the new moon. So Iyamar Bisham al Olam Chaser. So the Gemara says, now if Adar is always going to be a Chaser, Hachim Echalin de Mitzvah Kadosh al Ariyah. So the Gemara says, so I understand, meaning, so why are Edom going to be Mechal Shabbos? It's not because we need to know when Rosh Chodesh is. We know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is. Adar is always fixed. So Elayim, and so therefore the only reasonable conclusion would be that there's a mitzvah to do so, meaning there's a mitzvah in the process. And again, I'll just simply add parenthetically, it's a difficult answer. It's not even an answer, it's a difficult suggestion. Because then why 2 months? It should be all 12 months. But anyway, but Elayim are zimna male zimna chaser. But if you're telling me that Adar is operating on not on a fixed schedule, but it's a variable. So amay mechalalina. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So why chilo? Ne avrei ha'ina v'nikta shalamachar. So the Gemara says, so why don't we do the following? Why don't we be, in other words, if in fact the 30th day falls out on a Shabbos, the 30th day of Adar, so why don't we not be Mechal Shabbos? Meaning, why don't we just simply say to the Edom, don't come on Shabbos, come the next day? Because the next day, you can make it Rosh Chodesh, and if in fact it's not fixed, and if in fact it's variable, so tell the Edom simply not to come. Simply not to come on Shabbos, but to come the next day. So the Gemara says, Ede ikla yom shloshim b'Shabbos achinami. So the Gemara says, yeah. Sometimes that's an option, that we could basically tell the Edom not to be Mechal Shabbos, if in fact the 30th day of the month falls out on a Shabbos, so we can tell them to come back tomorrow. But hacha b'maiskin and deyikla yom shloshim v'echa b'Shabbos. So now, what if the 31st day comes out on Shabbos? So if the 31st day comes out on Shabbos, now what? We can't tell them to come tomorrow. Remember, we said already numerous times, there are only two possible candidates of what day could be Rosh Chodesh. It's either going to be the 30th day or the 31st day. So if the 31st day coincides with Shabbos, we can't tell them to come the next day. They have to, by definition, be Mechal Shabbos. So B'Shabbos, the mitzvah l'kadosh al ariyah. And I need the Edom. So under those circumstances, there just simply is no choice. So the Gemara is left off by saying that we really, from the Mishnah, do not have a way of really proving Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva says that Adar is always a chaser. So from the Mishnah that says that the Edom are Mechalal for the months of Nisan and the months of Tishrei. So in the first version, it sounds like that's difficult for Mar Ukva. In the second version of the Gemara, at least we thought we could support Mar Ukva from that Mishnah. The Gemara says, okay, we can go in neither direction really. So Mesa Rav Kahana, so the Gemara says, okay, but this is now going to be very difficult for Mar Ukva, and that is a Mishnah cited by Rav Kahana. Kisha HaMikdash Kayam, when there was a base of Mikdash Mechal, and Afal Kulam in Nitekanas HaKarban. So when would Eidim be Mechal Shabbos? Every single Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because we know that what is going to be affected by Rosh Chodesh? The Karban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And so in order to ensure that the Karban Musaf is brought on the right day, and even if that day is Shabbos, so the Eidim are Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Midikulu La Mishum De Mitzvah L'Kadosh Al Ariyah. So the Gemara says, now, what do we just see from that Mishnah? The reason of Chil Shabbos for the Edom is not going to be a function of there's a mitzvah in the process. In other words, it sounds very clear from the Mishnah that the reason why the Edom are doing so, meaning being Mechal Shabbos, is because because of the carbon, because of the carbon musaf. So Nisan v'Tishrei nami lav mishum de mitzvah l'kadosh al ariyah. So what comes out over there is that this is going to be true for every month, including the months of Nisan and the month of Tishrei. Good. So what did we just establish? That according to the Mishnah that we just cited, there's no mitzvah per se in the process. The whole reason why Chilul Shabbos is allowed for the Edim is just and only so that we bring the carbon. Now, Iyamar Bishlam Zimnim Ale Zimnim Chaser. So the Gemara says, so now let's reset. If Adar fluctuates, so the Mishamach Mechalinan. So now I understand that when there is no Beis HaMikdash and the Edim are only going out for two of the 12 months, Nisan and Tishrei, so now I understand why there's a need. Because Adar fluctuates and we need to know. Ela Iyamar Lolam Chaser. But if you tell me that Adar is always going to be a Chaser, am I Mechalinan? So then why would the Edim have to be Mechal Shabbos? Meaning, the Mishnah here is describing a post-Beis HaMikdash era. There is no karban. There's no mitzvah l'kadosh al pi ha'ra'iya. So there's only one reason left in terms of why Edim will be Mechal Shabbos, and that would be to let us know whether or not Adar was in fact a male or a chaser. Okay, so tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, so the truth of the matter is that Mar Ukva's position is not really defensible. It's a, the Gemara says, it's a refuted position. Okay. And as far as the halacha is concerned, again, this has all to do with the calendar. And right now, at this point in time, the calendar has been decided for us. So in terms of the halacha, you know, all right, open up a calendar and take a look at the calendar and see whether or not Mar Ukva's position is accepted or refuted. But again, this whole discussion of the Gemara over here was talking about before the calendar was fixed. So under those circumstances, would in fact Adar always be a chaser? Mar Ukva says yes. And the Gemara says, not a position that seems that we could defend. Okay. No, the idea of being Mechal Shabbos for Rosh Chodesh is one of two possibilities. One is that there's a mitzvah in the Kiddush HaChodesh, meaning in the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is going to override the Shabbos, right? It's a difficult argument, admittedly, but that's one possibility. The other possibility, as the Gemara said, is that we know that the carbon of Rosh Chodesh is going to override the Shabbos, and since the carbon of Rosh Chodesh is going to override the Shabbos, so included in that is also the process of establishing that it's Rosh Chodesh. That also is going to override the Shabbos as well. Okay, ki asa ula. Ula comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and presumably ki asa ula amar ivru la elo. So and he says that, you know what they did? So they made elo a malay. Now, as we've gone over a number of times, including yesterday's daf, so Elo always was a chaser. Now, when I say always, not by design, but it just always turned out to be a chaser. In fact, you remember what was reported in yesterday's daf, going all the way back to Ezra, which is the beginning of Bayit Sheni. So we learned that that Elo was a chaser. The majority of the years, the vast majority of the years, hundreds and hundreds of years that we're covering in history. So Elo was a chaser. So I'm not sure when exactly. In other words, it was at one point during the Tkufa of the Amoraim. So Elo was Elo turned into a male. So Kiyasa Ula Amar Ivru Ula Elo. So Amar Ula Yadech Havrim Bavlai Maiti Vusav Dinan Badayu. So Ula says, now, I don't know if we're going to get a thank you, but we really should get a huge thank you from the B'nai Bavl in doing so. Meaning, in doing so, what basically has happened is that you moved off Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot off by one day. Right, by making Elul an extended month. So the Gemara says, now that's a tova. Do they know it's a tova? Okay, maybe yes, maybe no. What's the tova? So the Gemara now is going to discuss. My tivusa. So ula amar mishum yiraka Rabbi Acha bar Chanin amar mishum asaya. So the Gemara gives one of two possibilities. One is because of the vegetables, or the other one is because of people who Rachman has died. Now I know one is obviously seemingly a much more serious issue than the other issue. But they both are issues to contend with. So one is vegetables. So vegetables obviously are perishable. And prior to refrigeration, which was most of civilized history, right? There was no refrigeration. So what do you do after you pick up the vegetable off the ground? The answer is you eat it pretty quickly thereafter, right? Fruit can hang out for a while, but vegetables really have a very short shelf life. Now, if in fact you have a Yontif and a Shabbos back to back, or Yom Kippur and a Shabbos back to back. So now what's going to happen is that you're going to have 2 days where obviously you cannot pick it out of the ground on either of those days. And what's going to now happen is that you're going to have 48 hours of the vegetables having been picked from the ground, no refrigeration, and they're going to go bad. And basically what it means is that we're going to be really, really short in terms of what we're going to be able to eat by the end of that either Yontif Shabbos or Yom Kippur Shabbos. Now, I know on Yom Kippur we don't eat. Hold that thought for just a moment. The other consideration is that if Rachmanis somebody dies and it's just a, if it's just a Shabbos, if it's just a Yontif, if it's just a Yom Kippur, meaning one day, okay, so that's 24 hours in which they're not going to be buried. And yes, there will be some decomposition, but the but not much. If, however, there's a 48-hour stretch of time, so obviously now we're talking about 2 days of decomposition. Once again, we're going back to a time where there was no refrigeration. That obviously poses a serious issue of Nivel HaMeis. So if now what we're going to do is we're going to adjust the calendars. So there is no back-to-back. So now it's going to help both in terms of vegetables and in terms of preventing decomposition. So my Beinai, so the Gemara says now the Amoraim offered each one of them as a separate reason. The Gemara says now is there a Nafkamina? Ike Beinai, Yom Kippur Mshachalios Achar Shabbos. Let's say Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday. So Mandam Mishamasaya Ma'avrina. Now, if the only issue is the decomposition, so obviously it's an issue. Meaning, because now you're going to have 2 days where you can't bury. If I have Shabbos followed immediately by Yom Kippur on a Sunday, you won't be able to bury. That's 48 hours where you could possibly have decomposition. Now, if the person died right before, right at the onset of Shabbos, now you will have 48 hours of decomposition. And Mandam Mishim Yiraka Le'emas Kabai Luhu La'orta La'orta Taruch Maisei. Now, if the issue is just vegetables, well, if I have Shabbos going into Yom Kippur, so when are we going to be eating? We're going to be eating at the, after Yom Kippur. So after Yom Kippur, so you'll run out to the field, you pick out some vegetables. So Laman Damer Mishum Yiraka Lavre Mishum Masaya. So the Gemara says, okay, it's true, that's a nafkamina. But I don't understand. How can each position ignore the other position? Meaning, if you're concerned about vegetables, shouldn't you also be concerned about people dying? So Ela Ika Benar Yom Tov Asamach L'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. So what we could really do is we can give a different nafkamina, and that is where it's back-to-back Yontif Shabbos. So Beimel Faneh Beimel Acharah, and here it doesn't matter where Yontif falls out before or after Shabbos. So Mandam Mishum Yiraka Ma'avrinan. So if the issue is the wilting vegetables, so the Gemara says, so then I understand. So what we'll do is that we'll adjust the calendar so they won't fall out back-to-back, so there won't be 48 hours otherwise. Therefore we won't come to basically losing our vegetables. But if the issue is decomposition, so we go back to the Gemara that we learned in Beitza Davav. So the Gemara taught us that if somebody dies on Yontif, so you can ask Goyim to bury. Again, that's not our minhag. Our minhag is that we have refrigeration, so we're going to wait till after Yontif. But back bizman haGemara, so we did so al yidei amamim. Ulamandam mishum asay la'avre mishum yiraka. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If your issue is decomposition, you're not worried about the wilt of vegetables. The Gemara says, no. Efsher bechamime. So the Gemara says, no, because we have a process in which basically we can create tchias amesim when it comes to vegetables. You put them in hot water. The vegetables, even though they seem to have expired, you put them in hot water, and then basically you could do a little tchias amesim when it comes to the vegetables. Ihachi maishna lididan, afilu lididu nami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What was the statement that was made by Ula? I hope the Babylonians know how good they have it that we adjusted the calendar so that we prevented there being a back-to-back Yom Kippur Shabbos or a back-to-back Yontif Shabbos. So I hope they know how good they have it. Again, we just learned together that there are two possible considerations, either decomposition or because of the vegetables wilting. So the and again, the Gemara went back and forth in terms of why each one is not considering the other issue. But Ula said, you know, I hope the Babylonians appreciate what we're doing for them. The Gemara says, for them? What about for us? So the Gemara says, Lididanami. Afilididunami. So Lididan Chavalan Alma, Lididulo Chavaluhu Alma. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a climate issue. Meaning in Bavel, it is extraordinarily hot. So in Bavel, these are issues that we have to contend with much more. The decomposition of the bodies, the wilting of the vegetables. In our hot climates, they have to worry about it more. However, in Eretz Yisrael, where the weather is much cooler, now I know, in the summer in Eretz Yisrael, it's pretty hot. So the, the Gemara's assumption is that in Bavel, the weather is just simply much hotter. Ini vatni Rabba Bar Shmuel, Yachu Kishim Shema Avrim Es Hashana, Litzorach Kachma Avrim Es Hachodesh, So the Gemara says, okay, so basically what we're learning now is that we can adjust the calendar as needed, as necessary. Meaning if we need to go ahead bump Elo up by one day. Instead of making it a 29-day month, we'll make it a 30-day month. So that Rosh Chodesh will fall on the 31st day for whatever consideration there is. Meaning we just discussed in today's daf two considerations. Whatever the consideration is, so the Beis Din has the ability to adjust the month. The Gemara says, I don't understand. We're learning together right now. It's a b'risa that when it comes to adjusting the year and adding an extra adar, so good, as needed. When it comes to adjusting a month, oh no, you can't adjust a month. Meaning, do you know when Rosh Chodesh is? When Adim see the new moon and go to Beis Din and say that they saw the new moon, that's Rosh Chodesh. It totally irrespective of what our needs are. In other words, Beis Din just simply is Mekadesh HaChodesh based on when it is. And it sounds like from the Braisa, there is no room for adjustment. So Amar Rava, Lokasha, Kan Lavro, Kan Lakacho. So the Gemara says, well, it depends on which direction we're adjusting. Meaning if the month was a chaser and Beis Din says, you know, it really would work to our advantage to go ahead and extend it. So then they can extend it. Because what are we basically saying to the Edim? I got this great idea. Why don't you just come back tomorrow? Right? I know, right? You saw the new moon? You know what? Look again. in other words, just don't testify and come back tomorrow. So in terms of being Ma'aber, that Beis Din can do. In terms of being Mekadesh, what the Gemara means by that is, let's say the Edim did not see the new moon. And again, for whatever consideration there may be, we went over just two right now. Whatever consideration may be, Beis Din wants to make the previous month shorter, even though there are no Edim, even though they didn't see a moon. So that you cannot do. That you cannot manipulate. So you can manipulate to extend the month, but what you cannot do is you cannot manipulate and shorten the month. V'hachi kamar. And now, with that status, and now we're going to go back to the Braisa. And now we'll say Epshan, the Braisa that we just learned. Yochel kishem shem ma'avrim es hashana. Ma'avrim es hashana ve'es hachodesh. Litzorech kach mekachin es hachodesh. Litzorech. Ah, so I could be ma'aber, that's no problem. Extending a month, no problem. What about shortening a month? Meaning that there are no witnesses, but we really need the month, the previous month, to be 29 days, not 30 days. I might have thought I could do that. Tamalamar, ha chodesh azalachem, kazera eva kadesh. That's what the pasuk is telling me. I cannot do that. V'chi hadamar of Yeshua ben Levi, ma'aymim ala edim, ala chodesh shenira bezmano le'avro. And the Gemara says, and I'm going to support it because Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, here's what we can do. Now, ma'aymim literally means to intimidate. So, okay, but in this context, intimidate just simply means manipulate. Okay, it doesn't makes it a little bit better, not a lot better, but anyway, but the idea is that, yeah, you can go ahead and you can manipulate. And you could tell Edim that who saw Bismano. Bismano means that they saw the new moon on the 30th day, being prepared to go to Beis Din and testify that they saw it on the 30th day of the previous month, making now the previous month only 29 days, making the 30th day into a Rosh Chodesh. And what we could tell the Edim is, hey, come back tomorrow. But what we can't do is that we can't tell the Edim who didn't see the new moon, hey, could you come to Beis Din today? And could you say that you saw the new moon, even though you didn't see it? So the Gemara says, fine. So now what comes out is that the statement of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi totally corroborates what we just said as a pshat in the Braisa that was offered by Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Okay. And so what we could do is that when witnesses come and say they saw the new moon on the 30th day of the previous month, so we could tell them to come back tomorrow. What we can't do is that we can't tell Adam to go ahead and come up with some sort of story, right? Literally fabricate that they saw the new moons, because we need the month to be only 29 days. We need the previous month only to be 29 days. That we can't do. Meaning if there are no Edim, we can't manufacture Edim. Okay. So far, it sounds pretty reasonable. Just wait. Just wait. Ini, the Gemara says, is that true? Vashalach lei, Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah le Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah says the following to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, typically we identify as a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Tosas over here says maybe not in this scenario. Anyway. So Ave Yodin Shekol Yamav Shav Rabbi Yochanan, you know that during the days of Rabbi Yochanan, Haya Malamdenu Ma'imim Ala Edim Ala Chodesh Shaloni Rebizmano Lekacho, Afa Pishalo Re'u Yomer Re'inu. So, you know, they quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that we can go ahead and we can manufacture Edim. In other words, if we need the previous month to be a shorter month and we don't have Edim who saw the new moon, we can go ahead and we can manufacture Edim. and have Edom come in and testify that they saw the new moon, even though there was no new moon. So the Gemara is now obviously really troubled. Meaning what comes out over here is that we can go ahead and we can manufacture Edom. So even to testify when they saw the new moon, and meanwhile, they didn't. So Amar Rabbi Lokasha, Habanisam Vitishra, Habashar Yarchei. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Meaning that as far as the Brisa of Rabbi Bar Shmuel, as far as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where you cannot go ahead and you cannot manufacture Edom, so that's talking about, that's talking about all the other months of the year. But when it comes to Nisan, when it comes to Tishrei, and as Rashi explains over here, where every Yontif is going to be dependent on them, the Yontifs of Pesach and Shavuos for Nisan, the Yontifs of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos for Tishrei, since all the Moeds are dependent on them, and since there are going to be reasons why we're going to need to adjust those months in order so that a Yontif falls out on a day, and again, because now of this ability to adjust, so they can, you know, quote unquote, right, turn the thermostat as needed in either direction, meaning either making the previous month shorter or making the previous month extended. So because of that, so therefore, Beis Din can now go ahead and go in either direction, meaning if witnesses say they saw on the 30th, but for whatever reason, Beis Din needs it to be the next day, they can tell them to come back the next day. And for Nisan and Tishrei, we can even go in the other direction, which is that why I don't have Edom, so Beis Din can go ahead and manufacture Edom.
Okay.
Okay. So what Phil's asking is really what should be bothering every one of us, every single one of us, and that is that this idea where if eyewitnesses coming who are prepared to testify and I say to them, don't come today, come tomorrow, okay, that's something that just we can wrap our head around. But this idea, which the Gemara not only is just suggesting, but the Gemara really believes that for Nisan and Tishrei, the way Rashi explains it, by the way, Tosfos says you could explain the other way, but the way Rashi is explaining it, that for Nisan and Tishrei, we can go ahead and we can manufacture Edom. So hopefully it bothers you because it really is the obvious question. How are we manufacturing Edom? Meaning we're having two kosher people come into Beis Din and say you saw the new moon, and they're looking at each other and looking at Beis Din, but we didn't see the new moon. And Beis Din just simply says, no, you did. Say you did. Meaning, it doesn't sound like Beis Din, right? Meaning the cornerstone of testimony, of Sanhedrin, the cornerstone of Judaism is to be honest and to tell the truth. And over here, we're going to go ahead and we're going to manufacture Edom. Okay, so.
Can the Beis Din itself testify?
I mean, they need Edom. The process is you need Edom. Good. Okay. So let's just say right now that the question is really good and it's really strong, and again it goes back to what I spoke about at the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, and that is that the process of Rosh Chodesh is really a twofold process. One is it's the process that we're describing, witnesses coming, testifying, et cetera, et cetera. But the other part of the process, which if you remember, right, as I said it a couple of days ago, and now I get to say it again. The other part of the process is cheshbon, meaning that there is a calculation in terms of establishing when Rosh Chodesh is. That calculation is also a major determinant of when Rosh Chodesh is. So under certain circumstances, limited as they may be, so because of certain calculations and because of certain necessities, and again, in today's daf, we went over two considerations. I have a really good feeling there are other considerations as well. So if it demands that Rosh Chodesh be set at a certain time for the month of Nisan, for the month of Tishrei, so yeah. So in other words, it sounds to us strange, but again, it's just part of the Rosh Chodesh process. And sometimes under certain circumstances, if Beis Din needs to manipulate a little bit, so they're going to do so under these particular circumstances. Obviously, again, here comes an obvious point. Obviously, this is not going to be extended to any other arena, any other area. There is not going to be another time where Beis Din gets to tell witnesses, hey, say you saw something that you didn't see only in this context of Rosh Chodesh. So under real extraordinarily limited circumstances, so they could do so. Okay. Right. Very good. Okay. So, Rav Dimi Minarda, sorry I skipped. So Lokasha Abnisan Avatishra. Habishar Yarche. Rav Amar Hadini Rabba Bashmola Cherim He. So the Gemara says, or here's what we could do. Meaning the whole discussion of whether or not we can manipulate the month to go to extend or to shorten. So the Gemara says maybe it goes like this. Maybe the brisa that was cited that sounds like you're not allowed to manipulate, maybe that brisa is going like the shita of the Acherim. Now it happens to be that we saw the shita already two times in Shas. We saw it back in Shabbos, we saw it in Sukkah. We're going to see it again in Erechin. And that is the Tanya. We learned in a brisa. Acherim Amim, Main Ben Atzeres, Latzeres, Vein Ben Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we went over this already numerous times, and that is basically the calendar is a fixed schedule. Now, again, we're not talking about after the calendar was actually fixed, but in other words, the calendar operated, the lunar calendar operated, alternating between 29:30, 29:30. You do that 12 times over, and you're going to end up with 354 days, and that's it. But what about this consideration, that consideration, this brisa, according to the Shita of the Acherim, I'll take nothing into consideration. It's always going to be 354-day year. As a result of that, do you know when next Rosh Hashanah is going to be? So as far as days are concerned, 4 days later. Because consider, 350 goes into 7 evenly, and now you're going to have another 4 days. Okay, and if there's an Eber Yar, and if there's an extra Adar, Adar's going to be 29 days. So what does that give me in terms of days of the week? And it gives me another day, because 28 days are evenly divisible by 7, and now it gives me another day. So then next year's Rosh Hashanah will be 5 days later. Okay, that's the Shita of the Acherim. That corroborates with the Brisa that we just learned. Good. Rav Dimi min Ardai Masni Ipcham. Rav Dima for Narda learns it the opposite. Ma'ima ma'aidem ala chodesh shaloni rabizmano le kacho. Ve'ein ma'amim ala aidem ala chodesh shaloni rabizmano le avro. So he says, yeah, manipulation is allowed, but only in the direction of manufacturing aidem, not in terms of postponing aidem. Now that's interesting. If anything, you could certainly argue, in fact, not only can you argue, we already did argue in the other direction over here. This seems to be a little bit odd. My time. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know it's a little bit odd. But, hi, mechzik hashikra, hi, lo mechzik hashikra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the difference is that in one instance, look, Basin's just going to look bad. Meaning, everybody's looking at the sky. Everybody sees the new moon. And now what happens, Basin says, you know what, we didn't see anything. come back tomorrow. And everyone's looking around and everyone's talking. How could Basin not have seen that? How could two witnesses not have come and reported that they saw the new moon? Everyone saw it. So it's Mechzei Keshikra. So there it looks, it's just a bad look for Basin. On the other hand, if let's say the manufacturing of Edom, it's so funny, the Gemara is arguing. The manufacturing Edom is not a bad look. Why is it not a bad look? Because you know what people will say? People will say, we missed it. Meaning, we're going to go over it in just a moment. But the witnessing of the new moon, you have a small window of opportunity to see the new moon. Okay, and it could be clouds outside. And people can argue, look, it's a little bit strange that witnesses came and reported they saw the new moon. We didn't see the new moon, but could very well be that we missed it. It's not as bad a look for Beis Din in the event that Adam came and reported they saw the new moon when no one saw it. So people could just simply say, we must have missed it. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. And what we just learned together is the basic idea that the of the manipulation of a month as per necessity. Can Basin do that? Do they have the right to do that? The answer is yes, but a number of shitas in terms of in which direction can they manipulate? Can they manipulate to extend? Can they manipulate to shorten? Can they not manipulate at all? So the Gemara goes over various positions. Okay. We get to the second half of today's daf, and quite frankly, it is a bit of a difficulty. There are two challenges for the second half of today's daf. Number one is that you just have to know the astronomy, meaning the and not astrology. Today, astronomy. Astrology we already discussed earlier in the Masechta. But you have to know the astronomy. You have to know the schedule and the routine of the moon orbiting around the earth. When we see the moon, when we don't see the moon, the waxing and the waning of the moon, so that we have to know. Okay. And the truth of the matter is it's not such a challenge. Meaning, first of all, we just need to be more observant. Okay. I mean that in every way possible. And it's just it's by simple observation, you're going to see the schedule of the moon. It's really straightforward. Okay. Small obsession of mine in terms of following the moon and following the pattern of the moon And once you see it, once you know it, it's really good. So that's one challenge. Another challenge is understanding the Gemara within that context. Because the Gemara is going to be making some statements. Some of the statements are going to be really difficult to wrap our heads around just in this context. Okay, that's a challenge. Additional to that, Rashi makes a number of comments over here in this upcoming sugya that are also really difficult. And I spent a good amount of time going over a number of different pieces that try to explain Rashi. Okay, here's what I'm going to do just for the purposes of the daf, and that is that I'm going to present the Gemara in a really straightforward manner. For the most part, I'm just going to be following Rashi. I'm not going to read any of the Rashis inside, but I'll give you what we're all going to gain from this is that I'll give you a basic sense of what we're looking at, what the Gemara is describing, and it's going to be really rudimentary. Okay, but we're going to walk away with something from all this. So so we start with a statement by Shmuel Amar Shmuel Yechinu Tkuna Lekule Gola. So Shmuel says, look, my knowledge of astronomy, he knew the sciences, right? Obviously the sciences of his day, but he knew the sciences and he was a doctor. He was an astronomer aside from being Baal Masorah. He was part of the transmission of the Torah from one generation to the next generation. And, you know, much of the Torah fell on his back. He was a unbelievably impressive individual and confident as well. Okay, fine line between confidence and arrogance, but he was confident. And he said that I can go ahead and set up the calendars for the entire Galus, meaning my knowledge of astronomy is such where I would have no problem navigating through the calendar. So Amalei Abba Avua the Rabbi Simlai Lishmuel. So the Gemara says, okay, are you ready for a little bit of a test? Here, I'll test you. Yadamar Haimilsa Detani Besoda Ibor. So there's a collection of brises called Soda Ibor. It happens to be, we don't have it. Okay, Soda Ibor was a collection of brises that all was about the astronomy and the orbits of the planets, of the moon, of the sun, and Nolad Kodem Chatzos, or Nolad Acher Chatzos. And there's a difference whether conjunction occurs before midday or after midday. That's the brisa of Soda Ibor. You understand it, Shmuel? And his response is, Amar Leilo. He's like, yeah, you know what? I don't know how to explain that. Okay. So Amar Le, Midahalo Yadam Mar, Ika Milachrina Dalo Yadamar. And so he says, look, if you don't know how to explain that part of the brisa, okay, so there are other parts of the brisa that you also don't know how to explain as well. Okay. Kisalik Rebbe Zera. Okay, so what I'll do over here, I'm going to pause over here. Tomorrow, because my time has ran up, and tomorrow I'll do this well. I'll explain the basic patterns of the moon and the relationship between the sun and the earth and the moon, and we'll go over all of it tomorrow, and we'll get a good sense of the statements of Rebbe Zera. Right, there are going to be a total of three statements of Rebbe Zera. Anyway, we'll go over it in fine order tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's just quickly review what we saw today. Mar Ukva says that Adar is always going to be a chaser, always going to be a chaser, and the Gemara goes back and forth in terms of whether this is a position that we could be defended or refuted. The Gemara ends up refuting his position that Adar is not always a chaser. Okay, the Adar which is proximate to Nisan. Okay, and most of our daf today is going to be a discussion of the manipulation of the month. Can Beis Din go ahead and manipulate the calendar so that either the previous month will be a chaser or it will be a male? So do they have the ability to do so? And the answer is machlokas, various shitas over the course of today's daf, whether they can or they cannot manipulate the month as per needed. Some of the considerations that we spoke about today is that if I have Yom Tov and Shabbos back-to-back, so we're going to lose that on our vegetables. If I have Yom Kippur and Shabbos back-to-back, so what we're going to do is that we're going to be, we run the risk of having 2 days in which a body is going to be decomposing, which is just simply unacceptable. And so as a result of that, so if necessary, we'll go ahead and we'll manipulate the calendar. With all that said and done, we mentioned this in the past, but just quickly, as long as we're finishing up today's daf, so a point that we've gone over numerous times, when they fixed the calendar sometime in the 3rd century, approximately 1700 years ago. So they fixed the calendar. They realized that being Mekayesh the Chodesh on a monthly basis is just something that we cannot do here in the diaspora. So therefore, they just went ahead and they fixed the calendar. I can't understate, right? I simply don't have the ability to understate how impressive that is, right? Knowing knowing the math that they did at the time, knowing the pattern of the revolution of the moon, and in other words, they had to take all the information into account and basically crank out a formula where we're going to be fixing the calendar for the foreseeable future, and everything will stay on track. In other words, the seasons will be on track, and they did an unbelievable job in doing so. Okay, and obviously we've been operating now with a fixed calendar for the last 1,700 years. So one of the features of the fixed calendar is that the Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Friday, right? Lo adu rosh, if you haven't heard the expression. So Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on any one of those 3 days in our fixed calendar. And so as per today's daf, what are those considerations? So part of the considerations is that we do not want Yom Kippur to fall out neither on a Friday or on a Sunday. So therefore, when they fixed the calendar, they built that into the calendar that they fixed. So that now that Rosh Hashanah is not going to be falling out neither on a Wednesday or on a Friday. So now Yom Kippur will not be falling out on a Sunday or on a Friday or on a Sunday. Good. So that explains two of those days. What about the fact that they don't want Rosh Hashanah to fall on a Sunday? What's the problem with that? If Rosh Hashanah fell on a Sunday, Yom Kippur is not going to be on a Friday or not going to be on a Sunday. So what's the issue over there? The issue over there is Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. It's a separate issue. They don't want Hashanah Rabbah to fall out of Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah fell on a Sunday, then Hashanah Rabbah falls out on a Shabbos. So that the Chachamim didn't want. If Hashanah Rabbah falls out on a Shabbos, so then we're going to lose out the minhag of Arava. Okay. Anyway, we'll stop here.